This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. We are in the thick of election season. Longtime U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is retiring after decades in Congress, and 10 Democrats and 6 Republicans are vying to replace him in competitive primaries. If a Republican were to win the Senate seat in November, it would be a first for a GOP candidate in Illinois since 2010. On the Democratic side, recent polling shows 3 leading candidates, Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthi, Congresswoman Robin Kelly, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. We heard from them this week. Among Republicans, top candidates include former Illinois Republican Party Chairman Don Tracy, local entrepreneur Casey Klebeck, and Chicago attorney Jeannie Evans. In this episode, we get to know the 3 of them in a series of one-on-one interviews. What are their plans to make living in Illinois more affordable? What do they think of aggressive immigration enforcement and the U.S. strikes in Iran? We're about to find out. First up, Jeannie Evans, a Chicago-based attorney and Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in the primary election. I started by asking Jeannie to tell us more about herself. Here she is.
In Illinois, we've had strong one-party rule, Democrat rule in Illinois, and we continue to see high prices and high crime. And we believe it's time for a fresh voice in Washington to innovate, to make our community safer, and to bring down prices for American families. I'm a political outsider. I graduated from Harvard Law School, and I've spent my career as an attorney taking on powerful corporations to level the playing field for small businesses and to bring down prices for consumers. The focus of my practice is antitrust law. I sue companies for price fixing. And so what I'm doing there is when companies are illegally trying to raise prices for Americans, I sue them to break up illegal monopolies, to promote competition in the markets, and to bring down prices for American families. And I've been successful in recovering billions of dollars for Americans, and I'm ready to take those skills and knowledge to Washington and try to root out some of the anti-competitive practices in the healthcare industry, in housing and energy, to promote competition and bring down prices for Americans.
Mm-hmm. Since you're talking about the topic of affordability, which is a major concern for Americans, I want to stay with that for a moment here, Jeannie, because you're right. The cost of housing and groceries and healthcare and so much more have gone up lately. And what we're seeing is also that wages are not growing at the same rate. So can you talk a little bit more about the specific steps that you would take to help make it more affordable for folks to live here? And give me long-term and short-term plans.
There's 2 things in particular. So one is, as I said, making the markets more competitive. So allowing for an increase in supply and more entrance to the market, more competition, and that will bring down prices. The other thing is to peel back a lot of the regulations that are making it very hard for small businesses and large businesses. So under the Biden administration, we saw thousands of new regulations on businesses. It costs money to comply with all of those. Those costs push some businesses, out of business. They can't compete. They can't make a profit, and we lose companies, which decreases competition. It also removes jobs. So as we remove kind of a lot of that red tape and taxes, we make it so businesses can thrive and create more jobs and opportunities for people in Illinois. So I would want to work with our president on peeling back those regulations and taxes so that we have a strong economy, more businesses, more jobs, and more opportunities so people can stay in Illinois. Particularly in Illinois, under Democrat rule, we've seen a lot of companies leaving Illinois because right. the regulatory and tax burden is too great. So major companies like Citadel, Boeing, Caterpillar, Tyson Foods have left the state, and they've taken with them many high-paying jobs. They've taken tax base revenues. And so I would be working to make Illinois and our country, frankly, more business friendly so that companies can stay in Illinois and create jobs and opportunities. Mm-hmm.
The current administration has used federal funding cuts as a pressure tool to get cities and states in line with its agenda and a form of payback as well when they don't. Chicago and Illinois have been a particular target, Jeannie. Do you think that funding should be restored?
You know, I think because we have majority Democrat rule in Illinois, with Democrats in control of the statewide offices and majority in the legislature, the House and the Senate, we've seen elected representatives that are taking an adversarial position to the federal government, not wanting to cooperate. I think we do need some competition in Illinois government. We need a Republican voice. We need a conservative voice, someone who wants to reduce the stretch of government, reduce spending, and peel back, like reduce taxes, reduce government regulations, but also someone who's willing to cooperate with the federal government. So if I were elected to the U.S. Senate, I would be wanting to build more cooperation between Illinois state government and Illinois and the federal government. So if President Trump's administration wants to provide resources to, you know, incentivize certain programs, I think we should be welcoming any resources we can get from the federal government. And we should be talking to the federal government about, you know, what they're willing to provide and what works for the state of Illinois, and really trying to take advantage of those resources rather than just try to resist and not cooperate and then lose out on the benefit of those resources.
WBEZ conducted a survey of Illinois voters, and we asked them what issues matter most to them this election season. And one that came up over and over is the political polarization in the country. How would you work with your Democratic peers at the Capitol?
I've been a lawyer in high-stakes litigation where often hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars are on the line, and they're very adversarial with some of the biggest companies in America, some of the top lawyers. And I've learned to, you know, fight hard for my clients that I'm representing, but also work with the other side, work with the lawyers and the parties on the other side at some point to reach a settlement. And so, you know, sometimes we win in court and other times we're able to negotiate a favorable settlement. And so I have a lot of experience. I mean, my work as a lawyer, I'm working every day with an opposing party who has very different goals mm-hmm. and is very adverse to me and my client. And I've learned to work with them and to make progress and to reach a productive result and a good settlement. So I feel that my experience for many years, it will prepare me to work as a Republican with Democrats, with people on both sides of the aisle to accomplish the real work of governing for the American people.
We are near the 2-week mark since the U.S. and Israel launched an attack on Iran. Tell me, has President Trump made the case for war in your view?
I think the case has been made over many years by Iran's behavior. I do not think we cannot allow Iran to get nuclear weapons. Iran has been the biggest promoter of terrorism around the globe. They've been the major funder. I think they've funded about 90% of funding for Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, and they've just been the biggest exporter of terror, war across the world. And they have a religious ideology where they preach hate to Israel, to America. They preach destroy America, and they've been killing American citizens for many years. I think, you know, over 1,000 citizens over the last, you know, few decades, and they have been at war with the United States. They have been promoting terrorism that impacts the United States, and we cannot allow that regime who wants to promote death to the United States to get nuclear weapons. So we have to stop them from getting the nuclear, enriched uranium, and also we have to stop them from getting long-range missiles, to stop them from getting intermediate-range ballistic missiles.
So you're saying an attack on another foreign power is an appropriate step to take?
As to Iran, I'm not saying that against, you know, most of the countries in the world, but I think Iran posed a real threat, and which we couldn't accept. We couldn't accept the threat of them having nuclear weapons that could be directed against the United States.
What's your view of Operation Midway Blitz? How it was executed in that entire campaign?
Again, I will, as a U.S. senator, work to promote cooperation with the state and the federal government. I think all of the people of Illinois, the people of our country, we want safe communities. We want enforcement of our immigration laws, and we want to do that in a way that complies with the law and that treats people with dignity. And there are kinks in the system when you have a state government and a federal government that are a state government that's taking an adversarial position to the federal government. I would be working to promote cooperation and to enforce our laws in ways that work for the people of Illinois.
Make your final memorable pitch for our listeners, Jeannie. Tell us what separates you from the others that you're competing against.
I want to tell the listeners who are planning to vote in the Illinois Republican primary that I am a conservative Republican. There have been some attack ads against me that I'm a Democrat. I'm a conservative Republican. I have a strong Christian upbringing. My father read to me from the Federalist Papers as a child. I'm rooted in the principles of freedom, free speech, free markets. And I want to work to promote freedom and to promote conservative values of reducing the size of government and letting businesses and individuals chart their own course. I also, my husband and I of 32 years, have raised our family on the south side of Chicago. Our four kids have attended Chicago public schools, and we've participated in our Christian church community on the south side, and we have seen the devastating impacts of crime. And I'm committed to supporting law enforcement to reduce crime in our community, to make our community safe, and to give law enforcement the resources they need to do that. And so I want to make our community safe, reduce prices, reduce taxes, and I will be working hard in the general election to bring those conservative values to Washington. And I ask the Republican primary voters to please vote Jeannie Evans for United States Senate, and I will bring those conservative values to Washington.
That's Republican candidate for U.S. Senate Jeannie Evans. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed Artistic Director Alicia Graf Mack, plus five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
I caught up with Casey Klebeck, a real estate entrepreneur and Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. He kicked off our conversation with more on his background. Here's Casey.
First of all, let me give you maybe a little bit of that's significant. I'm an immigrant from the communist Poland, and I came to the United States legally upon completion of the high school in 1967. I graduated from the UICC with a degree in engineering, but I worked all of my professional career in IT. I am a sailing enthusiast and became even a commodore of Chicago Yachting Association. With my brother, we managed a successful real estate business. So right now, actually, I am retired, and I have, I guess, time to take up a very significant challenge to become a senator of the United States. I'm running because our country faces many serious challenges, ever-rising taxes, rising cost of common goods, especially food, housing, and health care. And when elected, I would like to change all that by my very bold initiative of Magna and Mula agendas.
Can you tell us what those are?
And Magna is my domestic policy. Mula is my foreign policy. If I may take each one of them a little bit, or do you want me maybe handle it a little later?
Yeah. So Magna stands for Making America the greatest nation again.
America, greatest nation again. And really, it's about seven major pillars which actually bring down the overtaxation by actually, in some cases, not just eliminating, but abolishing taxes for certain areas. I would like to abolish property taxes on real estate properties, abolish taxes on all social security income, abolish IRS taxes on retirement income, and also I would like to eliminate taxation by making it affordable to young generations. Therefore, no federal taxes for individuals up to the age of 23 or under 26 for full-time students and married couples. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to establish a 5-year tax holiday for all new small businesses.
And you mentioned Mula, which is Make the U.S. Loved Again. What's that?
I'm sorry?
You mentioned Mula, which is...
I mentioned Mula. Mula is actually my foreign policy platform, and it really stands for Making U.S. Loved Again. As you probably know, we are not right now running our country by actually going with the goodwill toward the world. It's more like we are driving our policies by sheer power and commanding fear. It's obviously noticed. We need to change that totally upside down in order to become again a country we used to be, where we were, approaching the rest of the world with our goodwill gestures. We need to do that. Otherwise, our mission will be short-lived. So this is very critical, because right now we are facing challenges from the BRICS bloc. You know what BRICS is? That stands for actually Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
Okay.
They are conquering the world with a goodwill, with economic gestures. We need to do the same. We cannot be conquering by military power. So this is the mission, becoming the foreign power. And so, I am right now during the primaries only concentrating on the Magna pillars. When elected, I will be concentrating on the Mula platform.
So, and in that same vein, you talked about military powers there, and we have to acknowledge the fact that we are in the midst of a war in the Middle East. Has President Trump, to you, made the case for this attack on Iran?
I tell you, absolutely not. War should have never started. And actually, it was ample evidence that Iranians were ready and to a peace deal. And unfortunately, like first time around, back in June last year, this time as well, we found ourselves in a situation where we are actually even breaking the peace negotiations. We should never be in this point, and it's going to bring us to a very serious challenges with the rest of the world, and even economic challenges. Already, the price of gas has risen almost by $1. A week ago, I paid about 70 cents cheaper gas per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
That's an astronomical increase, and it's going to get just worse. We should have never got into this. We should not be fighting wars for other countries. We should look inward. Our situation here is dire. You know, we have situation versus you with affordability, rising prices across the board, our living standards decreasing. Even today's generation cannot afford to buy a house in due time.
Right.
Or,
so if I may jump in here, Casey, what specific steps, since you're talking about affordability, what steps would you take to improve the affordability situation for Illinoisans?
Well, I would like to stress that the part of my agenda, which is about taxation, I just mentioned, this is actually a key because it saves the people money that they would have to otherwise spend.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, other than the overtaxation by making very serious legislative challenges, we should also strive very hard to make Illinois a hub for all in kind of industries, especially advancing the idea of bringing the most advanced industries into the state. I am almost calling, would like to call Illinois to be Silicon Valley of the Midwest, because we have the appropriate schools behind our, you know, mission. We have University of Illinois, we have University of Chicago, we have MIT, we have Northwestern. We have powerful institutions can help us to create us to be actually an anchor point for the most advanced industry, just like Silicon Valley in California mm-hmm. is. So this would be not only create a lot of jobs, but it will also create most or the highest paying jobs. So this is what my mission, which is at heart to me, that we should develop. We should stop the exit of people from Illinois as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be another way of making sure that we not only stop it, but we bring the people back to Illinois.
So you talked earlier about, you know, focusing on the moolah portion of your campaign first, if elected. And, you know, you made the point that under President Trump, this country has taken a starkly different approach abroad, right? We're imposing tariffs, scaling back international aid, ramping up military action and interventions in Iran and Venezuela, withdrawing from treaties. So we got this question from a WBEZ survey that we conducted of Illinois voters. We asked them what issues matter to them the most. And someone asked, are you worried about our global partners turning on us?
Most definitely. And that's actually the mission for the Moolah agenda, to make sure that we bring back our partnerships, not just, you know, countries that are, you know, our trading partners, but these are the close allies, you know, not to mention, you know, Northern ally, Canada, or Southern ally, Mexico, where we are creating a sort of hostile environment. So for me, Moolah is actually composed of four different parts, okay? And I'm calling them President Trump Calling Shots, PTCS. But you know what PTCS would be stand for? Parity, trust, stability. None of that now we are employing. This is totally contrary to what was the expectation of the world around us, of our trading partners.
Mm-hmm.
We have to change that. Unfortunately, I beg to disagree with President Trump. We're not going to be conquering the world with your power and commanding by fear. We have to come up with the goodwill gestures towards the rest of the world, because people demand that. We want that. I don't want to have war and worry about the war, you know, in faraway countries, because if things get worse, it will come back to our shores.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure that we understand the purpose of this, Moolah, making U.S. loved again. Develop a relationship could bring us into the fold of the international, body.
Well, while I have you, Casey, let me ask you this other question from a survey taker. They asked, what's your view of Operation Midway Blitz, the federal immigration campaign that we saw here in Chicago, and how that was executed?
Well, I'm telling you something. The reason it's so actually, it's totally unnecessary and put it down because I believe that immigration system needs to be overhauled. It's a 100-year-old system. It has not been touched. It does not meet current standards. And my actually idea, which I advanced 4 years ago, is to have a recruitment centers outside of the country where people that want to come to the United States, they can go to these recruitment centers, and based on our quota, our needs, they can apply and they can be vetted elsewhere, not inside the country. So what we've created, because we did not have an overhaul system, we created a very difficult situation where not just the border, that's where actually the immigration should have the powers on the borders, not inside the country, not in the internal United States. It came to the point that we in a state, we are creating almost a policing environment. This is uncalled for, and they should not do it. And we are doing it because we are applying patchwork of different type of rulings from different ages. Who knows where they were even initiated. If we did have a total overhaul, that should not be needed, because if someone gets to be inside the state, it should be a state issue subject to local jurisdiction.
That was Casey Klebeck, candidate for U.S. Senate in the Republican primary race. Now it's Don Tracy's turn. He's an attorney, former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party, and a candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. Though Don's more well-known than some of his opponents, I thought it would be good for him to give us a refresher on his personal and political journey. Here he is.
I've been a practicing lawyer in Illinois for more decades than I care to admit. And I'm at the oldest law firm in Illinois, where we hired a young lawyer you might have heard of a few years ago by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Taught him how to be a lawyer. We were the first Lincoln law firm and the only surviving Lincoln law firm. I also co-own a successful large family business with my 11 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, I owned and operated my own small business, and at times had to borrow money just to make payroll. But so even though I've been, you know, in the private sector, I have significant political and governing experience. I've run for office a couple times before. I've served as a precinct committeeman. I helped first try to elect my sister-in-law, Senator Jill Tracy, as lieutenant governor with Kirk Dillard.
Okay.
In the Republican primary in 2014, when they lost to Rauner Sanguinetti, then I helped Rauner Sanguinetti beat Governor Quinn at that time. I've been elected to as state chairman of the Republican Party a couple of times or twice. I've served as chairman of the Illinois Gaming Board. And been a convention delegate. I was a Trump delegate twice. So I've been working to help elect Republicans for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Throughout Illinois. So I've been involved, and I ran as a Democrat when I ran for state senate 24 years ago. But I found out that, you know, I was, you know, my values and principles are Republican, not Democrat. So I kind of learned the hard way there.
Right.
And so that's why for the last 20 years, I've been working hard to elect Republicans throughout Illinois. Now I'm working hard to elect myself. And
yeah. Let's get into some of the things that you talk about here in your platform. You talk about the sky high cost of living in Illinois and how it's made the American dream kind of seem out of reach for many everyday folks here in our state. And you're right. The cost of housing, groceries, health care, you know, all of that has gone up and wages more or less stay where they are, Don. And I wonder how you will make life more affordable for Illinois residents in the short term and long term.
Well, before that, I just want to finish one thing is that I've been endorsed by like 125 Republican legislators, leaders and institutions throughout the state. And I have five opponents, and I think they have a combined endorsement number of 10. Every Republican legislator throughout Illinois that has endorsed in this race, and as well over 30 of them has endorsed me, including the entire congressional delegation. But to your question, that is the number one issue on both the Democrat side and the Republican side. I mean, it's, you know, because under President Biden, inflation reached a historic high, the highest inflation in 40 to 50 years, 47 years, I think. And that inflation was 20 to 30%, depending on who you talk to. And when you put 20 to 30%, on top of the usual inflation of 2 or 3% a year, and when real wages aren't growing that fast, and you have a lot of people out there on fixed incomes, that makes for a tough situation. People have to start making hard choices. Like at Christmas, do I buy Christmas gifts? Or do we buy, a nice Christmas meal, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats say that they agree with that. They call it affordability, and they say we can fix it. We Democrats can fix that. But everything Democrats do increases the cost of living. So I don't know where they're coming from on this. Their solution to reducing the cost of living is subsidies and more government spending. But what causes inflation? Government spending. What causes the cost of living to increase? Taxes and tax increases and new taxes. Obamacare was sold to us as a way to reduce health care premiums. But of Obamacare, another, it's not the only factor, but due to that, health care inflation is about three times overall inflation, and that's something I want to work on if I'm elected the new U.S. Senator from Illinois, because we've got health care is running at 18% of GNP. That is unsustainable. That will bankrupt the nation. We've got to do something on that. Housing.
So can you give me something specific that you're doing to make things more affordable?
Well, closing the border helps a little bit, because when you bring in 10 to 20 million through the open borders policy under Biden, you bring in unhoused people primarily to blue sanctuary cities, like Chicago. These are unhoused people, 10 to 20 million, and you're bringing them to an area where you already have a housing shortage. What's that going to do to housing rents? That goes up, too. The Democrats are generally soft on crime, and as a result, shoplifting is an epidemic, not just in Chicago, not just in San Francisco and New York, also in Springfield, where I live. I think I'm about one of only, there's like 20 people running for this seat right now, 10 to 14 on the Democrat side, 6 on our side, was 8. I think there's only 2 of us that are downstaters, but even in Springfield, if you talk to any store clerk, like at a Walgreens, they'll say, "Yeah, people walk out with stuff all the time, and we can't do anything about it." That drives up retail prices. So, as I said, and then the Democrats war against traditional, affordable, reliable energy has increased utility prices everywhere. They're kind of blaming it on data centers. But it's that's not it. It's their policies and their laws that are forcing good power plants to, like, we have one of the cleanest coal power plants in the world, and they have a bill to shut it down even before the bonds were paid off. They tweaked that. Now it's open until the bonds paid off, but well before the end of its useful life.
Don, in the interest of time, let's jump into another topic here, if we can. We conducted a survey of WBEZ listeners recently and asked them what issues matter to them this election season. And one of the questions that came up is Operation Midway Blitz, right? So tell me your view on the ICE immigration enforcement that we saw here in the Chicago area and how that was executed.
Sure. Well, first of all, immigration law is the province of the federal government. It's not a state and local matter. And the federal government has a responsibility to enforce immigration law. And a nation without borders is no nation at all. And people that support open borders are opposed to any deportations whatsoever. But the federal government has a duty to do that. And Obama certainly did that duty. He deported, I think, 3 million his first term. And his border czar was Tom Homan, and he gave an award to Tom Homan. And overall, federal immigration enforcement, and Homan is the border czar today. Federal enforcement of immigration law has gone well throughout the United States, except in sanctuary cities, predominantly except in Chicago and in Minnesota, but not just there, but in some of the sanctuary cities where there's massive resistance to that. I lived in Memphis for almost 10 years, first as a traveling salesman, and then as a law student, and then as a lawyer. And I was down there recently, and they welcomed federal law and immigration surge. They executed a lot of outstanding warrants. Got a lot of the worst of the worst off the streets. They removed over a thousand illegal firearms from the street. A lot of contraband and narcotics. Found 150 missing children, which we don't talk about a lot. But yeah, it's worked well where the feds have been welcome, but where they've been not welcome, and where the local authorities were inciting resistance against it, like Chicago and Minneapolis, it has not worked well. And we've got to find out a better way. The federal government, I think everybody agrees it did not work well there. The federal government needs to find out a better way to enforce federal immigration law and sanctuary cities. But I think with Tom Homan in charge now, I think they will figure out a better way to do that than what we saw.
And so I'm clear. I mean, there's a difference, Don, between closing or reducing entries at the border and enforcement. So just so we're clear, do you think that all people without legal status should be deported? Like, where is the line? Should it only be violent criminals?
To me, the focus initially, certainly the priority should be the worst of the worst, as they say. But there's different types of illegal immigrants, too. There are people that are, getaways. They just broke across the border, met thousands, perhaps millions of those. Then there are people that came in and overstayed their visa and that sort of thing. I'm open to considering and discussing a pathway to legal residency, not citizenship, not voting, but a pathway to legal citizenship for long-term law-abiding illegal immigrants.
Well, and now, before I have to let you go, tell me where you draw the line when it comes to war. When is war necessary? What are your thoughts on the U.S.'s attack on Iran that we're experiencing right now?
First of all, there's been bipartisan consensus for decades that Iran is a rogue nation. We've been in conflict with them for 47 years. When they overtook, they were through the Shah. They immediately violated diplomatic immunity by seizing 48 hostages from our U.S. embassy. They've been killing and maiming Americans ever since, including the bombing of the USS Cole, Khobar Towers, all the roadside bombs in Iraq. This has been a problem. So the choice is not between no conflict and war. The choice here was between appeasement and dealing with a rogue nation. Remember, their foreign policy is death to America. The choice between appeasement and conflict. And the Obama and Biden administrations tried appeasement, and that got us nowhere.
That was Don Tracy, candidate for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate and former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. And that's it for this episode. Before we go, we should note that there are three other candidates also running in the Republican primary: R. Carey Caparelli, Pamela Denise Long, and Jimmy Lee Tillman II. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again soon.